It's 2 a.m. on a nearly empty New York subway when Jack Reacher notices something alarming. A woman in a puffy black coat, despite the September heat. Sweating profusely, hands hidden inside a messenger bag. Muttering what sounds like prayers. His military training screams danger. She's displaying classic suicide bomber indicators. Despite the tactical implausibility of bombing an empty train, Reacher can't ignore the warning signs. When he approaches her, claiming to be a cop who can help, she remains silent, hands moving inside her bag. After repeated requests to see what she's holding, she finally agrees as the train pulls into Grand Central. Instead of a bomb, she produces a Ruger 357 Magnum revolver. Relief washes over Reacher. A gun is manageable compared to a bomb that could kill everyone. But in a shocking twist, she raises the weapon to her own chin and pulls the trigger, ending her life instantly. What begins as a simple observation transforms into something far more complex. Why would this woman, later identified as Pentagon employee Susan Mark, travel to New York just to commit suicide on a subway? And why are so many powerful people suddenly interested in what Reacher might have seen or heard during those final moments? The aftermath brings complications when Detective Lee arrives, followed by three federal agents interrupting the witness interview to ask if Susan passed Reacher any documents or drives. Outside, four men with military haircuts from Sure and Certain Inc., government contractors, question Reacher with similar intensity but private sector determination. Susan's brother Jacob, a New Jersey police officer, arrives distraught, insisting his sister didn't commit suicide. He reveals she worked as a civilian clerk at the Pentagon's Human Resources Command with exceptional access to personnel files. My sister was pathologically organized with a memory like a database, Jake explains. She wouldn't travel hundreds of miles to kill herself on public transportation. Reacher's investigation leads to Washington, D.C., where he discovers Susan's connection to Congressman John Sansom, a former Delta Force operator running for Senate. Sansom's campaign autobiography raises red flags by deliberately downplaying his impressive military career. An unusual reverse deception suggesting involvement in classified operations too sensitive to mention. After sending a note claiming a woman died with Sansom's name on her lips, Reacher is quickly intercepted by the congressman's team. He eventually corners Sansom in North Carolina. Though physically unimposing, small and wiry with an oversized head, Sansom radiates the wealth, power, and charisma of successful politicians. When confronted about classified Delta Force missions, Sansom projects confidence while claiming he's spotless. Yet his reaction to one name, Lila Foth, betrays hidden truth. In New York, Reacher discovers the code 600-822-19-D from Susan's car refers to Army Regulation 600-8-22 tracking metal recommendations. Susan had accessed classified information about Sansom's military career, information worth killing for. Later, Lila Hoff calls claiming she and her mother are in danger. Despite misgivings, Reacher agrees to meet. Lila reveals her mother, Svetlana, was a Soviet political commissar in Afghanistan, where her husband and brother served as snipers. When trapped, American forces led by Captain John captured and tortured her relatives, stealing their weapon. We identified John Sansom from newspapers, Lila explains. We just wanted Susan's help confirming our suspicions. The investigation takes a dark turn when Reacher receives a DVD showing Svetlana Hoff torturing a taxi driver and footage of Susan Mark's son Peter held captive, with Lila threatening, "I think you're going to be next." Springfield reveals that Susan extracted a classified file about Sansom's medal and deleted the original. The Hoffs, suspected Al-Qaeda operatives, are seeking proof of Sansom's actions in Afghanistan, something awarded directly by the Secretary of Defense that would now embarrass both him and the United States. Sansom confesses the file contains a photograph showing him beside Osama bin Laden with the mother of all shit-eating grins, an image that would destroy his political career. Yet Reacher senses something doesn't add up. Al-Qaeda's intense pursuit seems disproportionate if embarrassment is their only goal. Whatever's in that photo, Reacher concludes, however bad it is for you, there's something in it that's even worse for bin Laden. When confronting Sansom, the congressman admits meeting Grigory Hoth and taking the Val rifle, but claims they released the Russians rather than executing them. Armed with a silenced submachine gun, Reacher tracks the hosts to a dilapidated building on Manhattan's east side. Immigration records show they entered with 17 others 3 months ago, a complete terrorist cell operating undetected. Moving floor by floor, Reacher silently eliminates their guards. One alarm would bring the entire cell down on him. On the fourth floor, he confronts Leela and Svetlana. "You're not mother and daughter," Reacher says, noting their similar postures. "No, we're not," Leela replies coldly. "Teacher and pupil." That's when Reacher realizes his fatal mistake. He miscounted. The 20th operative emerges from the bathroom, Glock aimed. Reacher spins and fires his final round, catching him between the eyes. What follows is a savage fight. Reacher's tactical blade against their butcher knives in a confined space where furniture becomes both obstacle and weapon. After a brutal exchange, Reacher slashes Svetlana's carotid artery. Rather than engaging the more experienced Leela with knives again, he charges her with a heavy kitchen chair, ending the fight with his hands locked around her throat. Reacher awakens in Bellevue Hospital's ICU, saved by detectives Lee and Springfield, who located him through cell phone triangulation with minutes to spare. John Sansom visits to assure him the 9 bodies across Manhattan won't cause problems. The Department of Defense has quietly taken control of all crime scenes. Regarding the memory stick with the damaging photograph, Reacher reveals Susan's final desperate act. Trapped in gridlock traffic on I-95, knowing she couldn't meet the Hoth's deadline while they tortured her son Peter, she hurled the stick from her car window into the roadside brush. For weeks afterward, Reacher remains haunted by possibilities. What single image of bin Laden could have been so catastrophically damaging that Al-Qaeda would send an operational cell to America? Was it evidence of unexpected cooperation, proof of betrayal, or something even darker? Susan Mark's case shows how ordinary lives can be destroyed when caught in national security machinery. As a Pentagon clerk who discovered classified information, her suicide wasn't from guilt, but a desperate maternal sacrifice to secure Peter's freedom. This tragedy reflects America's complicated relationship with its history. The photograph showed U.S. officials meeting with future Afghan adversaries, one of many expedient alliances that later became problematic. Consider how many Susan Marks exist today. Ordinary people with access to extraordinary secrets, vulnerable to forces beyond their understanding. In a system where national security overrides individual rights, where classified information serves as both weapon and shield, perhaps the most dangerous position is knowing just enough to become a liability, but not enough to protect yourself.